right? First things first, right? Let's dive into the Word of God and let's prepare our hearts for what He has for us this morning. Took me a minute to get up here having some online streaming issues, so I was trying to help with that. But this morning, we are continuing in our new series. Last week, we began our series focusing on the book of James. James is a New Testament book, a New Testament letter written by the half-brother of Jesus. And it was originally written to Christians who were scattered all over the known world. There was a persecution, there was a killing that happened, and they just spread throughout the known world. And because of that severe persecution, they were spreading and they were facing hardship and hatred and that persecution everywhere they went. And God used James and this letter to write to them, to encourage them, but also to encourage us to live a life as children of God as we live in this difficult world. And James in this book challenges us and teaches us to live lives that give evidence that we belong to Jesus. In other words, church, if you've been saved, if you've been changed by Jesus, if you've been made new, adopted into the family of God, then guess what? Our lives, our actions, our thoughts, our words should reflect that. Right? I mean, our life, when people see us, they should be able to tell we belong to Jesus. And I love how James begins this letter, and I think it's important for us, and we're probably going to review it every single week. But James doesn't say, hey, I'm James, I'm Jesus' half-brother, so therefore you should listen to what I say. James says, I am James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word bondservant is the Greek word doulos. You guys say that with me? Doulos, right? And a doulos is a person who willingly commits themselves to faithfully serve a master whom they love and respect. James is saying, I love and respect Jesus. He is my Lord, and so I humbly and faithfully commit my life to be with Him and to follow Him. Church, I think that's important for us to remember this morning as we dive into God's Word, because all throughout James, we're going to see the Bible tell us how we should live as Christians, as Christ followers. And I think the only way for us to apply the book of James to our life is for us to have that humble, submissive attitude, to have that same attitude within us. And so I want to encourage us, and we're going to pray about that in a minute, but I want to encourage each of us to have the posture of surrender to Jesus this morning, to have a heart that loves and trusts what we see in God's Word so that we can apply it to our lives. Last week, we began a very timely message where James says, church, when you face trials and temptations, various means just trials of any kind, when you face trials and temptations, and we have that all around us, don't we? Right? If you have lived for just a little bit, you have faced trials and temptations. If you haven't, just come hang out with me for a little bit. Like, I'm sure you will face them, right? But God is telling us here in the Word of God that as Jesus followers, if you're a Christian, in those seasons of hardship, in those seasons of trials and temptations, we are to, you ready? Choose joy. Even during the trials, we can choose joy because of this, church. It's about our perspective. We can choose joy because of who we belong to. We can choose joy because God is in control. And because when we walk through those difficult moments, God will, not might, God will use those times to help us grow in our walk with Jesus. And so if you missed last week, I'd encourage you to jump online and listen to that sermon online. I think it'll be encouraging to you. But today we pick up where we left off in James chapter 1. If you want to go ahead and dive in there, you open up your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 5 today. But before we read that passage, I want to ask us a question. Last week I had you raise your hand. I don't want you to do that on this question right here, right? You just think about it. Don't say it out loud. Who comes to your mind when you think about wisdom? Who comes to your mind when you think about someone who is wise? You got someone, right? When I was growing up, if you were to ask me as a kid, who is wise, Jeff, I might have this image come to mind. You got that, Kevin? Maybe? There we go. Who's this? If y'all don't know who this is, man, you did not have a good childhood. I'm just saying, man. Man, this is Master Splinter, amen? Right? I mean, Amen. I don't know. Splinter, man, he is wise, right? You got these Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that are just out there causing trouble, and they always go and they sit at the feet of Master Splinter. Anybody not know Master Splinter? Oh, goodness sakes, man. Really? All right, we'll put it up on the website. I'm just kidding. All right. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. How about this guy? How about this guy here? Maybe. There we go. Who's that? Papa Smurf. All right, you guys over here, you guys know who Papa Smurf is? All right. All right. If you don't know Papa Smurf, I don't know. I can't help you. Papa Smurf is wise, right? I mean, he's got this lifetime. He's got this experience. Okay, now, before we get to this next one, I'm going to have to ask for you guys for your forgiveness. Anybody in here Star Wars fans? All right. I'm not. Okay? So please forgive me. I repent of that in front of you, like publicly on TV and everything, man. But if you watch Star Wars, this is the face of wisdom. Amen? Somebody had him on their shirt this morning. Who was that? There we are, right there, man. I saw it this morning, right? That's the face of wisdom Star Wars. Okay, Star Trek, right? But now on a more serious note, when I think about wisdom, I know that I have multiple faces that come to my mind, right? People that God has placed in my life that I would say, man, they were wise, right? Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's a mentor, a friend, or someone who impacted you spiritually, like a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or somebody like that just impacted you. And here's the thing, and when you were walking through a trial in your life, or maybe right now when you're walking through a trial in your life, when you are struggling, you have a decision to make, you want to connect with those people, don't you? Right? So that they could share their wisdom with you. I loved growing up in my family because I had an uncle that lived to be 107 years old. There's a lot of longevity in my family, and I just love sitting there and listening to their stories and asking them questions and trying to learn from them. So I want us to talk about wisdom for just a minute, because in our world, when we think about wisdom, we often think about those who have knowledge. Right? We see someone who's an intellectual or who is smart, and we just think, man, they are wise. We think of someone that's successful or has a lot of money or has a position of power. But I want us to understand something this morning. The wisdom that we read of here in God's word, the wisdom that James is going to talk to us about this morning, it's a little different. We need to know, church, that having degrees, having a lot of money, having a lot of influence or power, even the smartest person in the room does not make a person wise. We turn our TV on a regular basis and we see these smart people making very unwise decisions, don't we? We see a lot of people that know a lot of things, they have a lot of experiences, but you know what they do is they fail to apply that to their life. Wisdom is not just experience, church. Wisdom is not just knowledge. It's not just intellect. The wisdom that James is talking about here in God's word, this wisdom is the right use of that knowledge. It's the right use of the intellect and the right use of that experience. Knowledge, church, is raw information, right? It's us collecting that raw information, but wisdom knows how to use it and apply it. So when we think about us as Christians, if you are a Christ follower here today, wisdom is the knowledge and practice of righteousness in our daily life. Wisdom is the knowledge and practice of righteousness in our daily life. Here's what that means. It is knowing what it means to live right in the eyes of God and then living that out. It's us hearing and studying and knowing God's truth. Church, it's seeing life from God's perspective and applying His truth, His perspective, His ways to our life. I love what Jesus says in Matthew 7:24. I don't think this is up on the screen, but He says this. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, you hear the words of Jesus, right? And puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's knowing and then applying. And all that leads us to our text this morning. And so, church, we're going to dive in. We're going to read James chapter 1, verse 5 through 11 to honor God and His word. Would you stand with me this morning as we read this passage together? James chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Here's what God's word tells us. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he or she, talking to those that are in the church, Christians, must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Verse 9, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers fall off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too, the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Let's pray, church. Father, we love you. And God, we are grateful that we could gather today. We're looking forward to our time together where we just get to connect and hang out and play some games and eat some food, God, and we're grateful for that. But right now, God, we pray, Lord, each person in here would have the posture that James has, that we would be a bondservant, that we would be ready to surrender and humble ourselves before you so that we could hear and apply what you have for us today. So God, we pray, Lord, you'd be honored today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If you haven't caught on yet, James' major theme this morning is wisdom, right? Wisdom. And in the verses prior, if you weren't here last week, James was talking to us about walking through trials and temptations. And so in its immediate context, when we study Scripture, we need to study Scripture in its context. Are you with me, church? No, we don't just take a verse and apply it however we want. So we want to know what the context is. In its immediate context, here's what James is saying. When we find ourselves facing trials and temptations in our lives, which we often do, right? We often find ourselves not knowing what to do, right? We often find ourselves, right, when we're in the midst of it, we aren't always quite sure what to do. We aren't always sure what to say or how to respond or what step to take. And so James is saying in the context, he's saying, when you face these trials, Christian, when you face these temptations, you need wisdom. But this passage is also appropriately and correctly applied to every moment in our life, no matter if we're in a trial or not. How do we know that? Verse 5 says this, but if any of you lacks wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, who's you? It's Christians, right? If any Christian lacks wisdom. So he's talking to Christians here. He's talking to Jesus followers. And if you are a follower of Christ, he's talking to you. Right? So if Sam, if you lack wisdom, right? He's talking to you today, right? How many of us in this room, let me see you raise your hand. How many of you lack wisdom? Right? If you didn't raise your hand, you're either sitting on them because your mama said, you know, stop hitting people, right? Or you need to get your hand up because we all lack wisdom. How do we know that? How do we know that we all lack wisdom? And here's how we know. There is not one person in here or online today that has all the knowledge of all things. There's not one person in here that has all the experiences of all the experiences. There's not anybody in here today that has all the right perspectives. You and I, church, we are limited in what we know. We are limited in what we've experienced and what we have, and we all have limited perspectives. And so, therefore, we're limited in how we can apply that to our lives. We're limited in our wisdom. And so James is saying, hey, Jesus follower, you lack wisdom. Right? He just owned that today. Like, we lack wisdom. You don't always know what to do. You don't always have the answers. You don't always know what step to take or what to say. And so here's what you need to do about it. I like this. Like, if somebody's going to tell me there's something wrong, tell me how to fix it. Right? He says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Church, this morning, we're going to see some truths from God's word about wisdom. And I'm convinced that every single one of us is going to need to apply this to our lives today. The first truth is this, and it's so important. And guys, it may sound elementary, but it's truth that we often miss. Truth number one is this, wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. If you lack wisdom, the Bible says, Christian, ask of God. Now, let's have a super honest moment here. We know this truth. I think everybody in here is just like, okay, yeah, God is the one that's all wise. He has the wisdom. But many times, maybe even most of the time in our life, we don't apply this truth. Why do I say that? Because when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first You notice that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What do we often do? We often seek our opinion first and what we think is right. When Proverbs 2:6 up on the screen says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding," we far too often seek others first to hear their thoughts and their understanding and their perspectives. Church, as Jesus followers, when it comes to our life, when it comes to making decisions and taking action, it doesn't matter the situation, the trial, or the season. Here's what God's word is telling us. It's going to be kind of like a little bit of a kind of a smack in our face a little bit. Are you guys okay with that? Can we do that this morning? It doesn't matter what is going on in your life. The question is not, what is my perspective? The question is not, what is my political party's perspective? The question is not, what is my favorite celebrity's perspective? The question is not, what is my best friend's perspective? As Jesus followers, the questions are always, what is God's perspective? How does God see this situation? What does God say about this? What wisdom do I need from God? How does God want me to see this situation in my life? How does God want me to understand it? How does God want me to approach this? How does God want me to respond? We could just camp out here and keep asking these kind of questions, couldn't we? I think we could just spend the rest of our time in here. But Christian, James is saying, as we surrender our lives and our hearts to Jesus, when we lack wisdom, we're to ask God for it. And we see something here. We saw this last week, a biblical imperative. An imperative means it's not a suggestion. It's not an opinion. God is saying, Christian, you need to do this. Right? So we see another biblical imperative. This is not a suggestion. It's not an option for us to consider. It's a command. God is saying, Christian, when you lack wisdom, which is often, which is daily, which is hourly, know that it is the Lord who gives it, and so you are to ask him for it. Church, this is probably more important than we understand this morning, because we walk through moments where our first response is to see, how do I feel about this? Right? How do I feel about this? You know what God is saying? I'm not asking you to see how you feel about it. Right? Because we know our feelings can lead us down a path we shouldn't be going. We face decisions in our life where we ask others, and God is saying, I didn't tell you to ask them first. Church, you may be here today, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Man, I know this is true of some of us today, and you're facing a very hard road. Right? A very difficult decision. You may be in a place where you didn't think you would be at today. And God needs you to hear this today, church. He's telling you, stop texting your friends first. Stop going to social media first. Stop going to your coworkers first. Ask me first, is what God is saying. And here's the thing. Once we know what God says about it, if we have someone else in our life that is telling us something different that goes against what God says, church, I'm going to say, as your pastor, they have no business speaking into your life about it. I'm going to get a little fired up about that a little later, okay? But that's the thing, man. If God has clearly spoken to your life his wisdom, others have, and others aren't pointing you to that truth, then they have no business speaking into your life about it. We need God's wisdom. Church, there's so many perspectives, so many opinions, so many theories and thoughts and feelings, but God is saying, Christian, I'm the one you need to ask. I'm the one you need to listen to. I'm the one who has the answer. I have the right perspective. I have the right understanding. I know the next step and the proper response. You know, I think it's funny, as I was studying this, I think we just kind of have to laugh at ourselves sometimes, because we often seek those who are limited when we have access to the one who's not. Are you with me, church? I mean, think about that. Let that set with you just for a second. We ask ourselves and other people, which we know are flawed, and we have access to the one who's not. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33. I think it's up on the screen. He says this about God. He says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Listen, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? And who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Church, because of what Jesus has done for you and me, because we have been saved and changed and made new, because if we have trusted in Jesus for our salvation, we've been adopted into the family of God, we now have full access to our Creator. The veil has been torn, church. We have access to the one who has no limits to his riches. He has no limits to his knowledge. He has no limits to his wisdom. And yet we often seek him and ask of him as a last option. If you watch football, we often treat God as a Hail Mary pass. What's a Hail Mary? You're at the 50-yard line. You got one shot to get to the end zone or you're losing the game. Are you with me, church? And that's what we do. We're going to go to this person first or this person, and then we're going to see what social media says, and then we're going to see how we feel about it. And we're like, oh, none of that worked out. Let me toss this and see if I get something from God. In this world, we are going to lack wisdom. And James says, Christian, if you belong to Jesus, you really have no business talking to anyone else about what to do or what to say or for their wisdom until you seek God. Truth number one, wisdom comes from God. Truth number two comes from verse 5 as well. We're going to spend a lot of time in verse 5 today. But if any of you lack wisdom, which we do, let him ask of God, right, who has all of that, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I love this, church. The God who is rich in wisdom, right, his wisdom never runs out, and he gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him, the Bible says. Wisdom, church, is God's to give, and he gives it generously. We know what the word generously means, right? But then he says, without reproach. That's not a word that we really use a lot, right? Anybody in here like use that word, the word reproach, a lot, right? Without reproach. This means this, in the context of this passage, if we truly seek God and ask of him for his wisdom, he will give it whether we deserve it or not. He will give it without scolding us for asking. Anybody ever have a kid come to you and ask a question and you just kind of get onto him, right? Because you just told him that five, let's be real, seconds ago, right? Parents, you with me, right? He will give whether we deserve it or not, and he will give without scolding us for asking. It will be given. And so truth number two is this. God generously gives wisdom to those who depend on him. Fully depend on him. As Jesus followers, we need to know something. If you're a Christian today, I think you've probably come to a point in your life where you know that you are nothing and have nothing without God. And if you don't know that, you need to know that. Everything you have, every ability you have, every word you have, you only have those because of God. And so we need to know that. We need to approach God with full surrender, full humility, and be fully dependent on him. And God is saying, when we have a need, here, listen to this, church. When we have a need, that need is to drive us towards God. Don't miss that. If there's a need in your life, you better believe God allowed it to drive you to him. All right? In complete dependency on him. And God gives generously, right, of his wisdom to those who understand it. Author and pastor and missionary leader David Platt says this. He says, God gives wisdom generously, abundantly, liberally. He pours it out to all without discrimination, without question, and without hesitation. This is the God of the universe saying, I will impart my wisdom to you. Church, when we come to God as a bondservant, when we come to the Lord ready to surrender in full humility, when we come to the Lord with full surrender, ready to hear and apply what God says, it is at that moment where we are where we need to be. We need to get to a place of full surrender and dependency on God. That's where he wants us, in that moment before we ask of him, at the feet of the Lord God, asking for his infinite wisdom. Church, being that we are in a world as Christians where we face trials and temptations, being that we live in a sinful world and a world that has a lot of opinions, a lot of thoughts, a lot of perspectives, and a lot of feelings. Because of all that, truth number three is this. We are to be regularly seeking wisdom from God. I don't know if that's proper English. I didn't get time to ask my wife about it, but it makes really good sense. So just write it down, all right, church? Right? We are to be regularly seeking wisdom from God. We're to be regularly finding ourselves in a posture of humility. in a posture of readiness, in a posture ready to hear and learn and apply what God has to say. You know, a lot of times we pick up the Word of God and we read that and then we just move right on. We're not ready to apply what He says. And so I want to give us three ways for us to regularly seek wisdom from God. I believe these things need to be a priority in every Christian's life. Number one is this: to regularly seek His wisdom, we are to spend time with Him in prayer. On a regular basis, church. Scripture often uses this phrase, ask of God, and it's calling us to pray. It's calling us to speak to God, to spend time with Him in prayer. When you read the Bible, you can't go very far without hearing something like this: to pray consistently, to pray without ceasing, to make it a priority in your life, sacrifice other things so that you can pray, to be faithful in prayer. Church, if you're a follower of Christ, it must be a priority for us to pray all the time. Part of us walking with God is communicating with Him, talking to Him, and listening to His voice. Can you imagine husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, if you're trying to have a relationship with the other person and you never talked with them? Or every time you talked with them, it was the same thing that you memorized and you just quoted over and over again. I don't think you're going to have a very successful relationship. God created us to be in a relationship with Him, to walk with Him. You and I cannot walk with God the way He designed if we're not praying. And God's people said, amen. And if you didn't say amen, we need to know that. Like, maybe if you're struggling in your walk with God, that's where you need to start. We need to be consistently in prayer. Make it a top priority. Value it. Spend time with Him in prayer. Number two is this: to seek His wisdom regularly, we're to be in His Word on a regular basis. We're to be in His Word, church. Let me be very honest. There's no radio station, there's no devotional, there's no book, there's no person that will be a substitute for you being in the Word of God. You guys hear me? When we talk about this a lot of times and people will say, hey, I want to spend more time with God, I'll say, what are you doing? And they'll say, well, I'm listening to this radio station, I'm doing this. And those are great. Those would be additional. We have to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. Nothing can take the place of you and me spending time reading the Word of God. Nothing. Nothing can take that time. When you look at your life, can you say, I am praying and I am in the Word of God on a regular basis? Can you say that? You need to ask yourself that question weekly. Listen to what 2 Timothy says about the Word of God. Paul writes this. He says, all Scripture. Guess what that means, church? All Scripture. That's important for us to get because we're like, nah, I don't like that one. That one's too hard. Jesus, don't you know this is 2022? Jesus says, I don't care. Like, my truth is the Word of God. All Scripture, everything in here is inspired by God. That doesn't mean like Jesus like sprinkled it with something and said, poof, it's inspired. You know what inspired means in the Greek? It means it is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. Every bit of this book right here is breathed out by the Word of God. Yes, He used people to write it, but not one person wrote anything down on any piece of paper without God doing it through him. All Scripture is inspired by God. So guess what? It's profitable. You know what that means? It's good for us. We need it. What do we need it for? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, for training in righteousness, right? So what? How do we live for God? So that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, we're whole, equipped for every good work. God speaks to us in His Word, church. He teaches us. He shows us how to live, how to think, how to respond. And as we read the Word of God, you know what's happening. When we get saved, the Bible tells us that God comes to live within us. And the Holy Spirit within us helps us to understand the Word of God and helps us apply it to our lives. And so it's important that we set aside time daily to pray and to be in the Word of God. Church, it's so important that we're in the Word of God. You know what else is important? It's important. And it's biblical and it's godly, and we need to do this. We need to sit under the teaching of God's Word. That's why here at Authentic Life Church, it's not our responsibility for me to teach my thoughts and my opinions. It's not Kids Life's responsibility to sweeten things up to make it feel better. It's not the youth leader's responsibility to change God's word. Are you with me, church? Right? It's our responsibility to faithfully study and pray and teach the word of God the way that it was meant to be taught. So we got to be in the word, and we got to be under the teaching of God's word. We spend time in prayer regularly. We're in the word regularly. And number three is this: to regularly, on a regular basis, to seek his wisdom, we are to fellowship with other Christ followers. We're to fellowship with other Christ followers. God tells us that we need each other. It's not an option, church, right? We need each other. The whole idea of being an unchurched Christian is unbiblical. It's sinful. I say that unapologetically. It's unbiblical. It is sinful. We need each other. We are to encourage one another as we walk with Jesus. We're to help one another to love and good works, as we see in Hebrews chapter 10. We're to use our spiritual gifts, as we see in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12. Right? We're to use our spiritual gifts to help others grow and serve and learn and do all the things that God has called us to do as a church. God has placed godly men and women in my life. Here's the thing, I need you guys to know this. There are men in my life that speak into my life on a regular basis, that know me, that pray for me, that love me, and have no problem slapping me when I need it. Amen? Y'all are like, you need it a lot, right? They speak truth into my life, church. God's truth. They seek God on my behalf. They're students of the word of God. They're growing in their walk with Jesus. Why? And God uses them to help me. You need other Christians in your life that can speak God's truth into your life, that can pray for you and love you and walk with you. Christians that you can study the word of God with and grow together with, that you can be accountable to. I know we're an American, it's like mind your own business. That's not what the word of God says. The word of God says your brothers and sisters need to mind your business, right? We need to be in each other's business. That doesn't mean we get up here and just kind of, Sam, get up. No, don't really do that. Like, get up here and we're just going to tell everybody. No, you need to have a brother or sister, not on the opposite sex, y'all, right? We need to have a brother or sister that can speak into each other's lives that we can be accountable to. I just want to give a strong warning here. And please know this is not directed towards anyone specifically. If God convicts your heart through this, awesome. But here it is. We know that we're going to face trials and temptations. We know we're going to go through it. Amen, church? Man, we know we're going to be tempted. We know we're going to face difficult moments in our life. We're going to face pain and sorrow and experience hurt in our life. We will face moments where we need wisdom. So here's the pastoral warning. We as Christians have no business seeking worldly wisdom. You guys hear me? We have no business seeking worldly wisdom. If you are facing trouble, if you're facing a tough time, a tough decision, God says seek him first and ask for his wisdom. And he will use time in prayer, and he's going to use time in the word to speak truth into your life. But God can use and will use other godly Christians to speak into your life. Church, too many times we see Christians seeking their friends, their coworkers, or social media that are not believers for things like marriage advice and relationship advice and parenting advice or other kinds of advice. Church, I'm not trying to come down on anybody here, but we have no business seeking that until we've sought him and we're walking with a brother and sister in Christ. And here's what we need to know. If you have a person, Christian or not, if you have a person that you are talking to that does not love Jesus, that is not following Jesus, then I'm going to say we probably have no business seeking them for their wisdom. If you're seeking a counselor or a therapist, I just believe this as your pastor, I think they need to be a Christian. I think they do. And as Christians, if you got a brother or sister, a Christian that's pointing you away from Scripture, man, find you a brother or sister that's not. Are you with me, church? Man, we got to be careful about that. But we need to be in regular fellowship with other Christ followers, those that know and follow Jesus and those that love you. So wisdom comes from God. He generously gives to those who are fully dependent on him. And we're to seek him regularly for his wisdom. And we receive his wisdom through prayer, through time in his word, and God will often use other Christ followers in your life. I bet hands would go up around this room if I would say, has any brother or sister, any other Christian spoke truth into your life that you needed to hear it? Right? You don't need to raise your hand, but, and I'm going to be honest with you, if you can't say that, you're probably not walking with them like you need to be. Right? We need, amen, church? Come on now. Y'all leave me hanging up here, okay? All right. We got to move on. Let's look at verse 6. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God for it. And then he says, but let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. So he's saying this, to ask in faith without doubting is to ask God with complete trust. Instead of living with this constant internal turmoil, tossed around like the waves in the sea, trusting God one minute and then not the next. We are to ask God for his wisdom, church, and then place our trust completely in him. Verse 7, that person, whoever doesn't trust, right, what God is saying, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Here's what this is saying. If you truly want to hear from God, if you truly want God's wisdom in your life, then we must come to him fully dependent on him, understanding that he is God and you are not. Understanding that he is God and I am not. Understanding that he is God and the news or social media or your friend is not. Fully trusting in his wisdom. And he says in verse 8, don't be double-minded and unstable. Don't miss this, church. This is what it means in this verse to be double-minded. It means to be divided. You know what it's saying? This is like us, if we're double-minded, this is an example of what it would be. God, I want your wisdom. Would you give me your wisdom, please? So that I can take it and lay it out on the table and consider it with the others that I receive. I want to hear from you, God, but I'm divided. And so when I hear from you, and then I hear from everyone and everything else, then I will decide what I think is best. That's not asking God fully dependent on him. That's you seeking your will and not his. And James is saying, if that's your heart, don't expect God to give you his wisdom. Because here's the thing, when we ask of God, fully dependent on him, and he gives us his wisdom, he's not giving it to us as an option. He gives it to us because he knows what is best, and he calls us to trust him. And he calls us to obey him. I wish we had more time to dive into the next few verses, but let's look at verse 9 real quick. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, but the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Church, no matter whether we are rich or poor, no matter our social status, no matter what we have or do not have, we will all face trials and temptations. We will all face daily moments where we need God in his wisdom, moments where we can fully depend on God. And the picture that we see in verse 11, the picture of nature, shows us that these things we pursue in this world, they will fade away. When we place greater value on the things and the thoughts and the ideas and the feelings of this world, we will miss out on what God has in store for us. We're going to miss out what God has for us. We're going to miss out on receiving his wisdom when we seek the advice of this world. Guys, every day we need God. We need his wisdom. And I want to leave us with this idea this morning. Here it is. It'll be up on the screen here in just a second. But here's the idea. God is infinitely wise. His knowledge never runs out. There will never be a moment, Fernando, when you seek God in this way where he says, hey, I'm sorry, bro, check back with me next Thursday. I ran out of wisdom today. Are you with me, church? Right? We'll never face that. But here's the truth bomb for us this morning as we close. God knows the best outcome for your life. And he knows the best way for you to achieve it. God knows the best outcome for your life, and he knows the best way for you to achieve it. So, church, we can trust him when we ask of him. And he's going to pour out his wisdom generously and graciously on us. And so as Jesus followers, if we truly depend and trust God, set aside the so-called wisdom of this world and trust in what God has for you and trust in what he says. You know why? Because he loves you like no one else has. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the best outcome for your life, and he knows the best way for you to achieve it. Amen? Let's pray.